Praise the Lord. We have been speaking about the order in prayer, or the order of prayer. 1 Timothy chapter 2. 1 Timothy chapter 2. It's very important for a Christian to act on the word. James 1. James 1:22, James says, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only." Then he says, "Deceiving your own selves." He says, "If any be a hearer of the word," James says, "is likened to a man who beholds his natural face," which is the word Genesis in the Greek, "in the mirror, and straightway goeth his way." Then he says, "Forget the man of man." Now, the forgetting there is not lack of memory or remembrance, but it doesn't just consider it. And many times for believers, we don't consider things as it were. I'll share something a bit of a personal story. Sometimes in the year, to be sure so that I don't get it wrong, but I think it should be some 25 years ago, I had this friend, still a friend though, and we were talking. Then he said something in that conversation. He said all those things that, you know, we're doing. And he was talking about when we were younger then. So let's just say, let's throw those things under the carpet. He kind of used a very demeaning word. Was in my room, was sitting on my bed, and I said to him, I said, no, don't say that. I said, those days mean the whole world to me. And the reason why he said it was because something had happened, you know, that kind of created a crisis. So, you know, people are oftentimes used to questioning things when they're not getting the kind of result. And he said, oh, maybe, you know, so let's forget that. I said, no. I said, I'm not going to throw, in fact, the word I used was, I'm not going to throw it under the rug. Those experiences, those words mean everything to me. And I said to him, so years down the line, you will see. I got to speak to him afterwards. And he said, truly you said so. I said, yeah. Now, what was the difference? The difference wasn't that, and it can apply today, you know, to all of us. It was different. The difference wasn't anything. It was just that what he didn't take seriously, I did. What he didn't act upon, I did. It wasn't the difference of words. We're in the same meetings where we had the same things. And I said to him, I said, no, but remember he, friend, I mean, I believe if he hears, he's not going to be offended. Just before then, we're all friends. And so we all began something in the work of ministry. I remember a few years before, that was very early in the 90s, mid-90s, we all sat down and decided which universities we should attend. And then I was going to cross from university to another. He said, no. Don't come to our school, we want the word of God to spread. We're that conscious about the call of God upon our lives. So somehow he began something in his neighborhood, and the thing didn't exactly go the way he wanted. You know, the way we all were like, and then he didn't get the kind of things he wanted. So he said to me, he said, I don't think I'm called to speak or preach. He said, I believe I was called to the choir. It looked very strange. And the thing about it is that all of us used to sing. One, two, three. No, there's one of us who can. Still today, still. God just hears the words. But we all used to sing. All of us used to lead songs. In fact, there are times like that. Remember one day, he wasn't in this bus, but we got into a bus. And we should do it. We just start singing. I could lead, others could lead. We just sing and we sang, and the whole bus just took the character of our songs. So one man got upset. This must be 96. The man got upset and said, "Get out, all of you." I think the guy was possessed. So he tried to run out of the bus moving. So we used to sing like that. So he assumed, I think the easier one was just sing. And I said to him, I said, "How would you say you are called to sing? You have been singing already." "I sing." And just a few years before, I used to also be a choir director. I led people to sing, a lot of songs. So I've led mass choir before. I do all this, I've done it before. So I'll still be preaching. But he said no. I was too convinced. I said, "Okay, no problem. If you decide that you are not going to act on it, I will. I believe it's the word of God that I heard." So years down the line, he said, "Oh, you were right." I said, "Yep." So that's the difference between the doer to do. He says there's a hearer of the word. All he does is he hears it. He can even tell you what was said, but he's not acting on it. James says only the doer is blessed. So I'm going to be a bit practical with you this evening, okay? So that you can be a doer. In 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 1 says, I therefore exhort that first of all, and we said that the first here is similar to the word Genesis. Predominant. First of all. First of all. Which means in all my activities, the first one should be supplications. The word deesis there means a strong petition. Strong petition. Petitions usually take reasons. You have reasons why it must be done. Prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. So he lays down something very strong. He says, first of all, which means that whatever vocation I'm in, whatever situation I'm in, I should be told or remind myself or ask myself, have I prayed? Nothing should ever make a Christian say, forget prayer. Nothing should ever make a Christian say it's not about prayer. Nothing. It's a very careless comment. So Paul writes to Timothy, he says, first of all. And that's exemplified in Acts 9 when Paul himself had that revelation and appearance of Jesus. Acts 9. What did he do? Jesus was telling Ananias and he said to him, for in verse 11, and the Lord said to him, arise and go to the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house, in the city, in the streets called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus, for behold, he prays. You know, I would have thought Jesus would have said, you know that guy now that used to persecute you? There's one Saul of Tarsus. You are the one that will give him a nickname. He said, there's one Saul, he's praying. He said, Lord, you don't know this guy well. You think God follows blogs? I think he will give you the name of social media. He said he's praying. He said he's praying. Can he pray? He said he's praying. Look at it, the previous verses, verse 9. He was without, for 3 days, without food and drink. Hallelujah. There are things like that in scripture, you can readily look at the pattern. Without food and drink. There are things that are instructions. You can pick them up and say, you should do this. But there are things that are just patterns. I tell people, you know, I've been saying it for years, particularly amongst all of us who are, those of us who are very Christocentric. I'm very Christocentric, you know, just not the electric type. And, you know, and I tell them that, look, guys, some things are too consistent to miss. That we had Moses, a mightily used man of God. Mightily used. He spent times without food. And he's praying. We had Elijah, mightily used of God. If you miss the verse 2, you can't miss Jesus. Hallelujah. You can't miss the prayer life of Jesus. And if you miss those ones, look at the very starting point of Paul's ministry, his fasting. Someone told me, say, well, I don't think he was fasting. He just lost appetite for food with the presence of God. Okay, you too lose appetite for food. With the presence of God, at least something should work. Then you know in Acts 13, when he's going to be recommissioned, let me use that phrase, loose phrase, again he's fasting. How would you miss that? It's too obvious to be missed. And you know in Matthew 17, the three men that I mentioned, Moses, Elijah, and Jesus, were on Mount of Transfiguration. The three men. Notable characters. Notable figures. Something is clear. In the three men, we have three men who confronted the works of darkness. Moses was in Egypt, where he took on the host of Egypt, the gods of Egypt. Elijah confronted the gods of Baal. Interestingly, Baal was a major god in the Old Testament, particularly the Babylonian exile. Then you had Jesus, who went to that mount after he said, upon this rock I'll build my church, the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So we have the three persons who confronted the works of darkness. And they had that pattern. Times of prayer without food. Prayer. Not the times you be without food. Some of us do fasting. I call it ceremonial fasting. You say, I'm fasting today. And that day, what you did majorly was to say on social media. You were on hunger strike. The essence of staying off food is to give that appetite, that desire to something else. Spiritually speaking. I think I need to teach about fasting again. We don't have a book on it. Sometimes this year I'm going to talk about it as we go towards watching this conference. Because many of us forget things quickly. So you have these three men given to prayer and fasting. Hallelujah. There's no way you can miss the pattern. No way. So first of all, so we said, prayer is the order of things. The order of things. A young man who told me, you know, some folks were asking me about this young man. I said, this young man, you know, this way he does the work of the ministry. I said, one thing I can tell you about this young man. I'm a young man too, but he's just younger than I am. I said, he's there for sure. I said, how do you know? I said, no. He's there for sure. So how do you know? I said, when he was about to start church, so he came to me for counsel a couple of years ago. I said, okay. What's your plan to pray right and fast? He said, You know, he looked at me like, I just poured the air. What? Pray? Like, I expect you a Christocentric man not to talk like that. He said, times of prayer and fasting. I said, what about evangelism? He said, no. I don't do my things like that. He said, I just move. Oh, I said, all right. But what did he come to me for? To ask for money to move. So, I have no doubt in my heart that one didn't hear God's voice. Or if he did, He forgot it. I have no doubt in my mind. So, I'm not judging his work. It's judged already. You don't pray. I don't have to pray. What do I pray about? He said, no, it's not old fashioned to pray. Do you know, the way I was taught to lead a prayer meeting, should I tell you? I've told you before. I was taught that if you are called to pray, to lead a prayer meeting for 2 hours, you first of all pray the prayer points for 2 hours. Then you go and lead the prayer meeting. How about for training? Hallelujah. Which means you first of all lead the prayer. You first of all pray. Then you lead people to pray. What's that training supposed to be for? That you are not, you are leading people to do what you do. So I can't imagine if someone, and it depends on the people you listen to. You know, I listen to Brother Hagin a lot, a whole lot. And Kenneth Hagin, I'm going to read some things from him shortly. And I remember one time, like that, two very prominent ministers of the gospel, when they asked him, and they came to him and said to him that, look, we have challenges in our ministry, maybe God hasn't asked us to do it. He said, no. I remember those words very well. He said, watch how God leads you. He said, for me, and I picked some wisdom from that. He said, for me, when God wants me to do something in 10 years, he sets me praying now. I got a hold of that. He sets me praying. So there are a lot of us who talk about God using us, and the body, you don't know that God using you starts with your prayer life. If there's anything you are doing in the work of the ministry without prayer, it has nothing from the Spirit of God in it. First of all. Now I'm not talking about, you could just exempt yourself and say, well, I'm not a cell leader. I'm sure I'm not a fellowship coordinator. I'm not a PCF leader. No. Including the follow-up that you do. Including the evangelism. Including those you want to be established in Christ. You, first of all, prayer. How long do you spend on that work in prayer? You spend in prayer. You set yourself to pray about it. Hallelujah. So say, first of all, prayer. Now, listen to this. Look at the things that Jesus prayed about. Let's just have a view of it. And in Luke 22, he's speaking here to Peter. Verse 31. Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for you. I have prayed for you. So which means, part of the things you are praying about is for people not to be sifted by Satan. Now I'm not asking you to take responsibility for everybody who is sifted by Satan. Some are deceived themselves. What I can do about that. But, do you know, that's what your prayer does. It prevents some people from falling into the hands of the devil. Satan has desired to sift you, said, but I have prayed for you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. How many of you saints to pray like that for people around you, under your care? Raise your hand if you do. Good. You know, it's not a confession. You have to take an action on it. I have prayed for you. I know some folks like that I'll just sense, pray for this person, especially. And I'm just, no, it's not to go and tell the person all the time, Satan's had to sit to you, I'm gonna pray for you. Just I'll pray. There's someone I know who has said things. And I saw in a vision. I saw the person that said things. Things. I told you that your words don't die. I told you before. You see, don't joke with your words. I was speaking to a lady. She came to speak to see me, and then she was talking about, you know, kind of challenges with her family, her husband, the work of ministry. She said, "Pastor, you know, I know God has called me." And so she was speaking. Lord just showed me a vision. And as I saw the vision, I said, "Oh, did you attend this university?" I said, "Yeah." Hey. I mean, you know, some people can be very interesting. She said, "Were you in the campus too? You know, you came to a man of God. I think I should be one. And you don't expect me to know things supernaturally." Okay. You know, because the expression of God does hear the Lord. I prophesy by elections, things like that. Very funny. You know. Then I said, "No, I didn't attend the school." He said, "Oh, maybe you used to come around." You know, they talk about. I said, "One day you were in your room and you had yourself and people in there. One of them was a Muslim. And you were talking about pastors and the kind of things that the way people, you know, the way they are, the kind of things that people do around them and on. And you said this about pastors. And you said right there, you can never marry a pastor." Then at that point, I think she became sensible that, no, this guy is saying something else. It's not a gist. Sir, I thought she was going to say, "Were you there?" "Yes, I was the one that wore." I was the one that wore the Buddha part. In those days, we used to call some people Gosuki. Do you know Gorilla? I mean, Godzilla. You know Godzilla? The original one, though. You know Gosuki? You don't know Gosuki? You know Gosuki? You know Gorilla? I mean, Godzilla. Gosuki is a small one. You don't know? Go and find out. I mean, I think like Gosuki. You know, we used to call some films then. Shanshun Shon. Then she saw it on Clapperboard. You know Clapperboard? Clapperboard TV. They just show Chinese. You hear anything, just, "You kill my father, kill my mother, kill you too." It's always, "You kill my father, kill my mother, I'm gonna kill you too." So I said, "Gosuki." She said, "Hey." I said, "You said this." And I described a couple of things. I said, "Lord showed me." So that's what's happening to you. The part I didn't say clearly to her was, you can't get his best anymore. You can be fine, but you've said things. And those words came to pass. Wow. So when I saw this thing, I kept seeing this person who kept speaking words. You know, sometimes they are just angry. You know, and those words just stand. So I began to see, because this song I really love, and I said, and I believed in the ministry of the person. I said, I began to pray, "Lord, I pray for this." Because you just find yourself, you know, I told you before how I used to say, "I'm not a pastor." And then I pastor that, you just go, "We." I just sat back and said, I kept saying, "I'm not a pastor." I kept pastoring. Until I changed my words, "I'm a pastor." I can say, "I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor, I'm a pastor." That's why I'm saying pastoring. I mean, so your words matter, alright? Your words matter a lot. And there are people like that, you'll see it, and you'll have to pray for them. You'll have to pray for them. Hallelujah. There are things some people, and you know, I told you one time, myself and some friends were offended by a man of God. And what he did upset us. So when the boss were angry and upset, he was speaking, you know, you're speaking, you know, and you know, when you have this in Christ reality mentality, you think we weigh the same on the scales of righteousness, that's all. We weigh the same as God unto you. So we're really talking, it was 1994, I think it's 4 or 5, 1 or 2. That's me, 5. We're the same as God, we're speaking, so woo! Oh, woo! So we're talking, you know, like fools. When we got home, it was the campus, and we sat in there, I just knew we were in trouble. You know, if you're sensing, we are in trouble. And if there's something about me, I'm very quick to repent. Easy. So that morning, I left very early to go to the man's house. He didn't know what we had said. I said, you don't want to know what we have said. We have said this. Just pray for me. I don't want to be in trouble. So there were people like that, under your care, that you will pray for. If you understand the work of ministry is spiritual, then you will understand why you have to pray a lot. So, he says, I have prayed for you, that you, something that Luke, I know other people did, but Luke seemed to capture some crucial things about the ministry of Jesus, the way he prayed. Luke seemed to capture a lot of it. Luke 6. That's his 6. I wanted to say 5. Luke 5, 16. He withdrew himself. Luke said he withdrew himself to pray to the wilderness. Now, wilderness is where people, is not, you know, somewhere where, it's where people are not. It's like saying you go to a field. That's what it means. Went to the wilderness to pray. So he withdrew himself, which means that this is order. There are times that God's order in your life is, hey, take some time away. You need to find some time. You need to create time. You need to have a short thing, right? The way Lagos is, you can't find a wilderness. If you find one, let me know. Go on someone's land. Is it a boy? What do you think I'll do here? It's a wilderness. I'll give you wilderness experience. So this can be a short hint, right? You could just, I do it a lot. I just find time, go, and every preacher needs it. You could say, I'm very busy, you know, I'm a pastor, I'm also a doctor, I'm also a lawyer, I'm also an engineer, I have this work I do all the time. See. Huh? If you break down, you are down. So it's better to take that break than break down. Take that time. I'm not saying time. So I'm saying, what we would use this for is when we want to backslide. You don't say, pastor, I need some time away. That one is backsliding. That was backsliding. No, it's like, you are in the work of a ministry. And you know, and we all sense it. When we know we're getting rusty. Is that clear? We all sense it. Because you're human. You see, you're getting rusty. You will sense it. You will know it. You know that you're getting rusty. And when you sense that feeling, don't use confession to cover it up. And say, no, I can't be rusty. You are ready. Can't be rusty. Jesus, the Spirit. Just use gra. Just go and pray. Now, what else? Look at 6. Luke 6 again. Verse 12. He came to pass notice as he went out to a mountain to pray. Again, a mountain is where people are not. There's something about Jesus' prayer life, and I caught that as a younger Christian, that he prayed a whole lot more personally than publicly. A mountain is again where people don't stay. So learn to have prayer retreats. What did I say? Put that somewhere. Look, put that somewhere. Prayer retreats. I'm giving you an instruction, okay? Learn to have what? Prayer retreats. Prayer retreats. Now look at it. It was when he came out of it that he chose his disciples. Praise the Lord. So which means that in training people for the work of the ministry, before you give them what to do, pray for them. Okay? That's also part of it. You pray for people to be established, to be strong. Then you pray again when you give them what to do. Are you here? That's what Jethro told his son-in-law Moses. He said, you know, Moses, I'm teaching them from birth. I said, what you are doing is not good. He said, hear me, and be good. God be with you. He said, now, you will stand before the people, I mean before God, and bring their causes to God. It means that your first job is to pray. Look at it, Exodus 18. Moses thought, he thought his first job is to be teaching. Jethro said no. That's why the apostle said in Acts 6, we will not leave the word of God and serve tables. We'll give ourselves continually to prayer. Right? Acts 6:4. And to the ministry of the word. So look at Exodus 18. He asked Moses, what are you doing? Moses said, well, okay, he said to him, verse 14, what is this thing that you do to the people? Why sittest thou alone and all the people stand by thee from morning till evening? Moses said to his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come to me. I judge between one another and another, and I do make them know the statutes of God and his law. So I counsel them and I teach. That's what he's saying basically. So he said, that thing which you do is not good. Thou will surely wear away. Both you and this one that is with you, this thing that is too heavy for you. Something too heavy. It's too heavy for you. That thou art not able to perform with thyself alone. Hearken unto my voice, I'll give thee counsel and God shall be with you. Be thou for the people to God word. Is that clear? That's prayer. Pray for them. That thou mayest bring the causes unto where? God. That's the first thing. Moses never mentioned that. He said the first thing you should be doing is prayer. First of all, the moment you sign for the work of a ministry, you sign for a full-time prayer life. Is that clear? If you sign for the work of the ministry, you sign full-time prayer life. So he said you bring their causes before God. That is your first duty. That is your first job. It is that you lead them in prayer. It's good to lead them in prayer, but you bring their lives before God in prayer. That's the first thing. Then you say you teach them the laws and the statutes that they must walk, then the work that they must do. What an order. First job is to pray. So, if you are in the ministry, you are in the ministry of prayer. Is that clear? Learn to take prayer initiatives. Prayer initiatives. Well, you know, okay, we've got to pray about this. And listen carefully. I'm speaking to all of us now. There is a tendency to think that the only area that you need to pray about when it comes to ministry are disciples. No, 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 no. Pray about your family. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your children. Pray for your friends. There's nothing about your life, right, that will not be responsible one way or the other for the work of the ministry. Pray about your job. Pray for your employer. Pray for your employees. Pray about everything. Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord. Pray about everything. Everything. Pray about everything. Praise the Lord. Now I'm seeing some of us who have left areas of our lives we don't pray about. Make that change, okay? Pray about everything. Look at John 17. Pray about your assignment. Is that clear? I know you read what I said today. But it's good to marry because of love and affection. You have to love people that you marry. because, okay, you have to love people before you marry them, because when you're married, you have to love them. So start practicing it very quickly. But I said you also should marry people because of the assignment, your life's pursuit, your ministry. But imagine combining both. Those you love and those who will work with you in your assignment. What a marriage you're going to have when you know that's about it. It's about life. That's what your life is about. So you must know what your assignment is. In John 17, Jesus was praying, and he says, verse 6, I manifested thy name to the men which thou gave me out of the world. Thine they were, and thou givest them me, and they have kept thy word. Now they have known all the things that whatever that thou hast given me out of thee, I have given them unto them the words which thou givest me, and they have received them. And I have surely known that I came out from thee, and they have believed that thou didst send me. So he's very specific about the day. Then he says, I pray for them. I pray not for the world. Can you imagine that? So you have an assignment. That assignment is so primary in your prayer. I was preaching somewhere last week, and I said it again, another means I'm preaching about a few places, been speaking almost every day. And the pastor looked at me, huh? He was shocked. I said, don't be surprised if I didn't pray for your meeting. I don't feel compelled to pray for your program. I said, if you don't pray for your program, too bad. You should be praying. I said, because I'm not your pastor. And they looked at me, I think they prayed. I'm praying for those I'm saying too. The people that sent me, someone say, sir, I want you to pray for me. I just send one single liner. I stand with you in faith. I don't know them. But if you say, I'm saying it's coming to church, where? So at least that. If I'm praying, I'm in a vigil, I'm praying, I remember that brother, that sister. But if you are social and so international Christian center, I just say, Lord perfects all that concerns you. Now, I'm not trying to say I don't pray for other people. Don't get me. It's just a humor. But I'm saying that I know my priority, right? So, you must know your assignment, what you're called to do. There are some people that they are called to the body of Christ. There was a guy like that. He was such an interesting guy. He stays in somewhere in Southern Africa. So he's always writing about the American church. So I told him, why are you particular about the American church? He said, you know, the American gospel. I said, oh God, you live in Southern Africa. Your calling is in America. And you have not gone to the America. What are you doing in Southern Africa? Nothing. You are looking for a visa. No, sir. I said, wait. If you are so burdened about the ministry in a country, go there. You can't be writing a letter like Paul to Ephesus. He didn't start the church now. So what's your challenge here? Some people are really jobless. There was somebody like that in this church who said, sir, so is happening in that church. I said, did I plant the church? He said, no. Did anybody I planted plant it? He said, no. Did anybody I plant that plant? He said, no. I said, come. Do you think my head is big enough to carry the problem of this whole world? He said, no. Do you think God sent me to the whole world? John 3:16, do you see me there? He said, no, sir. By the way, how many of your disciples were in church on Sunday? See, they explain tire, no evidence. You can see they are just jobless. You are only jobless. The one they gave you, you have not done it. You are doing your WAEC or is it SSC, they call it. You are telling the invigilator, that guy is cheating. And your answer sheet is empty. Are you not also cheating? Your answer is empty. Oh. Say, sir, we are talking to them. The guy look at the work. It's just your matric number. What's it? Your school, you see your exam number. You really say, you better go and cheat. Because the way it is, your brain is cheating you. Where is your assignment? That's a burden or something. I prayed not for the world, but for them which you have given me. That's what he said. But you know what he said later on? Look at it. He said in verse 18, as you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I have sanctified myself, that they also may be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for this alone, but for them that also will believe on me through their word. See, everything has to do with his assignment. If you are really born in about Nigeria, Nigeria. I said, if you are born about the church, ever since, before I got born again, I've been told the church needs revival. Before I got saved. When I got saved, revival. The church is never right. I agree. Now, if you really want a change in Nigeria, in America, in the United Kingdom, in Ghana, in South Africa, anywhere you live, if you really want a change, you pay attention to your assignment. If we all focus on our assignment, and you are praying for the people under your care, seeing them to grow, he said, then there are those who will believe them through the preaching. Hallelujah. We have assignments. An assignment before us. We know it, one, by the written word, right? We also know it by the leadings of the Spirit. The leadings of the Spirit. I'll share something with us this evening. And I want you to put it, what I'm going to say tonight, the way you should inscribe it on your heart. Never forget it. Are you here? So we're people of prophecy. I showed you that, right? That we are a people of prophecy. The written one and the given one. The written word lets us know we have a mandate to the world. Then there's a given prophecy. It's given to us. Praise the Lord. A given prophecy. There are times like that, some of our pastors will tell, Pastor, you said this one. You tell me the year. Some of my friends say, and you said this. I remember you said this. There are those I remind some of you said this one about this time. And it came to pass. You know, it's good to follow that leading. I always talk about Reverend Tokes, who were in the university and he said this. He said, I'm going to study in India, Rema, Bible Training Center. We felt he was mad because there was no Rema in India. Well, he said it. He said, I'm going to go to Rema, India. I just looked at him. Then what do you think was crazy? He would bring out the Word of Faith magazine. He would say, you know, Brother Hagin is now in Texas. Me, I know Judy. I know he was Texas. He said, Brother Hagin is now in Texas. He's going to live there. He's going to go to Colorado Springs. And I was saying, well, Tokes. But somebody come and say, something is wrong with Tokes. But he was following God's leading. Hallelujah. Twice he was going to India. I just looked at him. It's all right. And Rema eventually went to India. So when he now said to me, Rema is coming to Nigeria. My head cannot process the information of all countries. Niger, I believe you. Hallelujah. Because he said, I saw it. And there are other things like that he has said. And I have people giving prophecy. Now, when you get prophecies like that, you start to pray with them. Some of us, when you get prophecies, you just say, glory, glory. It's good to write prophecies. I write book, my book of Bible prophecies. My book of Holy Ghost meeting prophecies. My book of Old Jesus Covenant prophecies. Now it's time to act on it. You pray. Is that clear? When last did you take a prophecy and prayed overnight? When last? One of the words I heard in my life at the AM conference at Lateran Assembly, Minister Ross Stature, Reverend Ross Stature, he began to prophesy. He said, are you listening to what I'm saying? I brought up my walkman. I said, it is here, sir. Why was I doing that? Because then I'll go down Igbo Road with the walkman. Then I'll play it. I'll just play it. Then I'm praying a whole night. In fact, then I used to take a tape and just speak the word of God over my life into a tape. Then play it all night. All night. All night. Even when I had a problem, a challenge with my health, then about over 20 some years ago, I would play it all night. Hear myself speak the word of God to myself. You are healed in the name of Jesus. The word of God, power of God is working. And I'll just be praying in tongues all night. Same with our prophecies. So you don't just hear prophecies and say, hey, hallelujah, hallelujah. Now it's time to pray. A prophecy is like giving you a direction of where the war is taking place. What are you doing about this? I'm going to read some prophecies for us. Are you here? One by Brother Hagin, Kenneth Hagin. It's one of those which I read a lot of times. I've posted it many times, a good number of times on Facebook, a good number of times. Now, this one, the first one I'm going to read, was given 1975. The word of the Lord came to me for the saying, this is Brother Hagin, 1975, February. Prophesy thou unto these people, and say thou unto them, like a mighty army, like a mighty army. Like the trampling of a mighty army, the forces of evil are trampling down the road to Armageddon. Yea, like a mighty army, gathering force as it goes, joined on one hand by these people, and on that hand, the other hand by other people. The army of the enemy is marching on though they know not where, marching on for they march in spiritual darkness, and there's no light in the tenement of their dwelling, even in their spirits, for their spirits lies in darkness, and they are under the control of the wicked one. But be not fearful of the trampling of the armies of the wicked. Be not fearful of the sound of the war. Be not fearful of anything that the eye can see, or the hand can feel, or that which is brought to you by the air gates of this evil world. But look ye into my word. Look into the perfect law of liberty, and know ye this, that the Lord has an army. Yes, he's prepared his own. No, the church will not grow weaker and weaker and weaker, and lie down and expire. But she shall grow stronger and stronger, and stronger, for a fresh visitation of heaven is at hand. Yea, a new revelation of truth shall burst forth in all of its glory unto those who are called by his name. They shall realize that in their grasp and in their hand all the while was that mighty name that is above every name. And they, with that name upon their lips and with the faith in their hearts, will speak forth to the enemy and say, thus far shall you go and no further. And he shall desist in his maneuvers and stop in his operations. And the hand of the enemy shall be stayed. And the harvest that is to be reaped shall be reaped. For the harvest is plenteous and the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest to send for laborers into his own harvest. And so men, yea, if you please, some whom call them a new breed shall rise up and go forth. They shall not be afraid of the devil. They shall have no fear of men. But with boldness shall they speak and shall challenge the very strongholds of the devil. And there shall be a great shaking. But those that are settled in upon the rock of ages shall stand and shout above the storm and see above the darkness, the might of God breaking on the horizon of time. They shall be reflectors of that light that shall shine forth in the darkness, and the blindness, eyes of Satan's king shall be opened by men. Men inspired by God, equipped by his spirit, called by the Lord, set in the body of Christ to shine, to testify, to preach, to minister. So like a giant that the body is, the body shall arise, shall shake off those things which would hinder and break asunder the bonds of tradition and religion, the bonds of tradition and religion that has them bound, and go forth with that pure revelation of the truth that will cause the lame to leap for joy, the blind to see both spiritually and physically, and there shall sound throughout the land the cry and hue of Hosanna to the Lord. Hallelujah. Great is his name and great to be praised, and the last souls that shall be won. The last spirit shall have been saved, and that body shall have been completed, and the cry shall come forth. Behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go ye out to meet him. In the ages to come, hands upon hands, the body of believers shall show forth his glory and majesty forever and ever. Run with these words. Hallelujah. 1979, May. This is almost the most profound that I have, apart from the one he gave in year 2001. River Bible Training Center's graduation, May 1979. Kenneth Hagin spoke the following words. What is that sound? What is that sound that I hear? It's the sound of many feet. It's the sound of beautiful feet. The sound of feet going forth with the good news. Who are these that make the sound of tramp, tramp, tramp as they come, as they go tramping along? Who are these? Yea, they are those chosen of the Lord, called of God, equipped by his spirit. Yea, they are those who have been loosed from the bondage of the enemy and been sent forth to set men free. They are those with the story of redemption, the story of freedom, the story of the glory of God. Where are these that go forth ever enlarging in number and increasing in number? Who are these? Yea, there are those who do know their God. There are those who do know his word. There are those who know the mighty name, the name that is above every name, the name of Jesus. There are those that know how to take that name and break the power of darkness over people's lives, over minds and bodies, the spirits of men, and set them free. Yea, there are those with the message of deliverance, the message of healing, of victory, and of God. Who are these? From whence have they come? Where are they going? Yea, they come from the very bosom of the Father, from the right hand of God, for their master, even the Lord Jesus himself, has ascended on high, and gave gifts unto men. He gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. They come forth from the very throne of God, from the right hand of authority. Where are they going? They are going to the uttermost parts of the earth. They are going where an empty hand is reaching out for help. They are going where a hungry cry, hungry for the bread of this life, and hungry for the true bread of life. He's crying out for help. They're going around the world to tell the story, to proclaim the message, to do the work that God has called them to do. Hallelujah. This was spoken in 79. And it's today's words. I see another one that was given to us about 8 years now. About 2015. Now, I repeated this in a meeting in 2016, March 11. And these were the words. We are at the threshold in this country, Nigeria, and beyond. These are critical times. Particularly last year, God showed us something that is very rare. A 10-year planting season now that began towards the tail end of 2015. That all we are just going to do is to be planting. We'll just be giving out the word, giving out the word, giving out the word. We must not tire out on it. It's a very sensitive period that we have to give our all and just be planting. He showed us something. It's a period for mushroom churches. What we call mushroom churches, small, small, small. Why? Because some more people will be taking initiatives. You see, there's a facade called the mega church. Really, what's in the mind of the head of the church is people taking responsibilities and filling the earth with the knowledge of his glory. Not just empires and monuments, but an expansive, intensive spread of revelation knowledge. I want to bring to your attention. Don't yield to the temptation of compromise. It is a time to pray more. It's now. Pray when there's no reason to pray. Pray when there's nothing wrong happening. Just pray. We're storing up prayers for at least 40 to 50 years. We're going to pray out decades. That's why when that urge comes for you to take a weekend break and just go somewhere like this and just pray alone, don't refuse it. Don't refuse it. For us individuals will come nations. You will find circumstances arranged for you, whether from your office, academically, or even family. And then you'll be in places where events that will lead into events will happen through you. You see, in this critical period, you must not be weary. You must not be found to be lazy. You must not be found to be weakened in your resolve. The word is growing and prevailing mightily. And the voices will never dim or down anymore. We're going to be loud, going to be loud. We're going to put it out so much. Oh, we're going to be very loud. I mean loud about what Christ has done and is doing right now. We're going to be loud. And you know what's going to happen? The days of titles are over. We function in offices. Men in reality without titles in different places. You know there'll be one in the Igbo language, one in the Hausa language, one in the Yoruba language. It's not necessarily going to be that all cut out neat people, traders, market women filled with the Holy Ghost and with the truth of the word. Each man preaching it in his own language, filling the whole earth. For we are not a class in the natural, no, such that we have an intellectual bunch or non-intellectual bunch. We are only a class in the supernatural. Whether intellectual or not, that class stays there. We give our hearts to it. The days of consecration are here. What is this consecration? It means to be dedicated and stay dedicated. Be dedicated and stay dedicated. Dedicated to prayer, to study, practicing the word, listening to it, preaching it, fasting, giving yourselves over to spiritual things. Be dedicated to the flow of the Spirit. That is, that you will not have a week go without utterances for people. You will not have a day go without sharing the word with someone. Imagine doing this from now and saying every day this year, I'll either get someone born again or someone filled with the Holy Ghost or someone taught the word. Make that decision today and see what will happen in your trail. Amen. You know something? If you look back, we have seen some harvest. Hallelujah. Now, if you look back, now we have to check. Have we fulfilled all that is there? No. So God's reminding us to take it again in prayer. I'll probably post it again tonight. If you check my Facebook, you'll see it. To stir our hearts. Sometimes what happens to many of us is a whole lot of distraction. You have to be wary of distraction. And I'm going to just share something with us that I believe is an instruction in our prayer lives. And I just saw it now in what I read. Look at Genesis chapter 32. Something happened to Jacob. You know, 24 says he was alone and wrestled. This is where the concept of supplication came from. Wrestled a man with him until the day, breaking of the day. Genesis 32 verse 24. And when he saw he prevailed not against, he tore the hollow of the thigh. We've done this teaching before. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let you go except you bless me. He said, what is your name? He said, Jacob. Their name shall no more be Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince, thou hast power with God and with men, and you have prevailed. Look at Hosea 12. Every biblical author says it's from this point that the nation of Israel was birthed. From this point that the nation of Israel was birthed. Hosea 12. And usually you see that Jacob and Israel are synonymous words. He was the one called Israel. A prince, one who has power with God. A prince. And Israel is a forerunner congregation of the church. Look at this, Hosea 12 and 3. That's Jacob. He took his brother by the heel in the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication unto him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord of hosts, the Lord is his memorial. So prayer births nations. And I'm saying to us that at this time and season, we are praying, birthing new things, nations. Birthing, see you praying our projects, birthing nations. This single man, now in the place of prayer, power with God. He had power with God. He made supplication, and a nation was birthed. A nation. A nation. So, there's a birthing process of prayer where you birth new things. If you are pastoring a cell group, a fellowship center, a church, PCF, whatever that you are over, or just one person, two people, three people, nothing much will be established till you start to birth it. See, there's as much as things can happen because you are teaching well. Because you can care for people. That's nice and good and biblical and godly and scriptural. But if we're going to birth things and have them established, we're going to have to birth them in prayer. So don't be moved by what you see. Don't be moved by excitement or just desires from people around you under your care. Let the movements you take in ministry be the movements of prayer. First of all, prayer. So I'm going to bath nations. I look back and I see how just alone. I sit there in the dark room sometimes on the street, sometimes in the midst of the forest. Or trees, pardon me. I start to pray. And I literally be praying out people. You know, and the same burden is still on me to pray out people. And you are praying people out. So that when things happen, you are not surprised. You are thankful. You are amazed at the move of God's power. But it's not something you are not aware of. And so, you cannot take on the burden of ministry without the burden of prayer. So, if you see prayer as birthing people, you are literally birthing a nation. When I say people, I mean nations. Which means a nation will come to you in a person. A people will come to you in different circumstances. So you must learn to pray and birth them. We've spoken last few weeks. We've called out things that should be done. I'm going to ask you, have you been waiting on the Lord? Have you been having those vigils? Have you been taking time for fasting? We're deliberately not going to do a congregational one. I could just call people out, let's fast. But no, I'm not impressed upon to do that now. It's an initiative you must take. How important is what is under your care that can make you pray tonight? That can make you pray early in the morning tomorrow for a few hours? That can have you have a vigil this week? How important is it? Somebody did post earlier today, and I said, I'm going to talk about this. Now, learn to also pray for those in authority, spiritually speaking. Paul in 2 Thessalonians 3, 1 and 2, so that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. If you want the word of God to grow in any nation, any land, we pray for the man that has committed those places too. In verse 2 says that we may deliver from wicked men, for all men have done faith. In Romans 15, 30 and 31 to 32, say you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me, that I may be, verse 31, delivered from them who do not believe in Judea, and that my service, which I have for Jerusalem, may be accepted of the saints. In 32, that I may come unto you with joy by the will of God, and may with you be refreshed. In Hebrews 13 and 18, pray for us. It says, for we trust that we have a good conscience, in all things willing to live honestly. So even the conduct and lives of those over our care is a product of our prayer. Hebrews 13, 18. The one we said earlier, Luke 22, 31 and 32, where Jesus prayed for Simon. Ephesians 6, 19. Pray for me that utterance will be given unto me, Paul says, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to. Philippians 1, 19. I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Colossians 4, 3 to 4. Without praying also for us, that God will open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to. I believe that today, pray at least an hour for those over you in the Lord. This is specific for today. But beyond that, you know, start to have dedicated times, knowing that you are birthing nations. You are birthing nations. In 1 Thessalonians 5:25, Paul says, pray for us. Just say, pray for us. So we have that duty. The written word imposes it on us. If you want the word of God to grow, we're praying for people. Pray for those over us in the Lord. Pray for those who God has given the mandate to give direction to churches. And in this instance, your own. There are others, of course, across the body of Christ, but let's be specific here. Also, pray for those who are under your care. Because what you do for one, you are doing for many. So it's time to see the responsibility of prayer as birthing. Birthing. Birthing nations. I know it's nations. It's going to take a while. What Jacob prayed for took years. Approximately. Maybe 400 years. It took years. It took a lot of years. You know, which means that, you know, things we see established today, churches, ministries, the work of the kingdom, it came from consistent prayers. People just giving to praying out the move and the will of God in places. For a good number of us, we have distractions. We start out. Whole immediately the next day, we start praying. But one thing leads to another, then we are distracted. We have something we have to do very urgently. You know, the son, you know, because of this, I wish God told me this in May. I wish he would tell me this in December. No. It's now that it needs to be done. And he knows you have things you are doing. He knows things you have that you are busy doing now. But he has given you first of all. As you are doing those things, this one is first of all. And for a good number of us, you know, when it comes to ministry, times that we ought to have woken up to pray, we slept. And the very thing in our hands slept. Times that we postponed, maybe next week. It has its own consequences. Times that we just did it half-heartedly. You know, we all have to repent over that. Yeah, we all have to. And take this very seriously. To birth things. To birth things. We cannot handle that experienced enemy outside deep supplications in prayer. You can't. So I bring it to our attention at this point. We do have a duty to birth things. You know, I don't know about you. I just keep seeing more. More. I just keep seeing more. You know, keep seeing more. And you see a sign of discontent. Mentioned that the other day. I close here. Of discontent. Discontent. Somebody just rusty. Just feel rusty. It's a sign of praying. Doesn't mean you have sinned or anything. Just means there's more to be done. To birth nations. To push out nations. To push out what God is doing. Connected events. Interrelated activities are just happening. Because I prayed. You know, James said, Elijah prayed. Then what startled me was he said he prayed again. He prayed. Then prayed again. We have to learn to pray again. Many of us give up quickly. Pray again. Taking time to pray, and if you've seen it, pray again. Pray. You know, we used to knock out prayer until something happens, even though it has a dint of doubt. But we can say we pray for something to happen. Pray for it to happen. Learn to pray again. And again, you know that fellowship ought to have birthed more. It hasn't. That cell group ought to have expanded the more. It hasn't. That I shared with you as a younger Christian, I belong to the intercessory group of Rema Chapel here, just at, what do you call it now? It used to be Casino Cinema. Also the one in the back. And we'll be, when you join the intercessory department, man, if you join four service group, it means that throughout the first service, you just be praying. If you join second service group, maybe throughout that service, you just be praying. And that just became a culture. I remember back then, of course, I had to stop at some point because I changed the method, that I'll just have some folks, every time we are preaching, they are praying. Why are we doing that? Because we know that's how things work. That's how things work. I dare say, and I challenge us to this now, to pray again. You know in your heart that this is not it. The way the work of the ministry is, you know it. And what you need to do is to solve it. Don't postpone it. Now I'm saying that so as many of us here, don't say, I'll set November. You know, some of us talk like that. God said you do something now. If it was going to be November, he would have told you in November. It's now. It's now. He has set an agenda for us as a church. It's now. It's not next year. Next year will come, but it's now. Remember, we are a people of prophecy. And prophecy sometimes comes to jerk us out of our own methods, our own plans, and redirect us so that we can follow his plans. He does that very often. I remember I was in Zambia, Kenya. And I was preaching, I was already told the pastor something else, and then I just saw it. I remember someone told me, said, I saw how you changed in that video. Said, I knew something happened to you. I said, I saw something. He said, I saw the change. And you just moved from what you were saying. I said, the Lord corrected me. I said, this is what I want you to be doing. And that's what, sometimes how the direction comes. Just change. Said, this is what I want you to be doing. Because many of us sometimes, if we are not careful, we think we have mastered God. That, no, if it's God, I can handle God. You know, sometimes you can be that stupid. No, you can't. If he gives you a direction, you follow it. I remind you tonight. Have you been spending time to wait on the Lord? Have you been having those vigils? Have you been staying up to pray? I spoke about friends. Have you been doing that? Have you called your friend up and said, Shegun, you know, we won't know that God has his hand on us. That's why we found ourselves in Saints Community Church. You know, we need to be wary of the device of the enemy. It's time to just pray. I just pray for you, your commitment in your PCF group. Yeah. That you birth and birth and birth. I can say, well, Shekel, you've been in church 6-7 years. How come you've not been given responsibility to be over a flock? That's not the kind of dream we have. We should be examples. Imagine, Shekel, if every Christian in church is like you. They've spent 8 years and there's nothing given to them to take care of. They're not going to be blaming, and maybe because the pastor doesn't like me. No. That's the devil speaking to you, through you. I tell myself it's time to work more. And I start by praying. So that the works of my hands are established and strong and strong and strong. Like I said when we started, it's the doer of the word, not the hearer only. To do it, I gave you the example of a friend of mine. We heard the same things. But how did you act upon it? How? Remember Reverend Chris Oyakhilome said one time that he entered someone's house and saw him playing a tape. In that tape he had Oral Roberts, Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, T.L. Osborne. Richard Roberts was there, Pastor Hagin too was there. And I know that tape very well. He said he stayed glued. I mean, that meeting is very rare. It never happened again. They were all on the pulpit at the same time. It was quite a Holy Ghost meeting. It never happened before it, never happened after it. He said, he told the guy, he said, who owns this videotape? He said, I'm the one. Since when have you had it? He said, yeah. He said, look at me. And your life has been like this. We have been looking for this thing. And you have it in your hands. You know, there are some people that all they hear from us is Living World Media. And they have transformed their cities. My friend told me one. Said this fellow just came for one WCC. One. Just one. Last year. He went back to one region. Almost the Muslim region of their country. Said, I want to speak for them. If I want, he called me on the phone. He said, I will tell you the truth. I was back crying. He said, you think you're in the Saints Community Church. He said, they are singing the songs. They were doing the service just like that. He said, but you know what happened? He said, the hall, I guess it was the largest hall in the town, was filled up. He said, we had to change the place. He said, I sat and I saw what God was doing. Someone just came for watch and just come and went back. He heard what you heard. She heard what you heard. What have you done with it? Someone had to travel for kilometers, spent money, borrowed money to be here. How wouldn't that person be used of God? You to tell me now. And stayed up and prayed. And prayed. Hallelujah. Same meeting. My friend said the whole place was jam-packed. He said till outside. He said, we're not looking for venue. He said, I cried. Ah. He said, I didn't know what was going on. He said, they very, very far from the capital. They just went. And what work is being done there. So guys, where should you be? What should you be doing that you are not doing? It's time to give birth. We're not barren. Not in the work of the kingdom. No. Nothing dies in my hands. In the name of Jesus. Tonight, I am unsettled from my comfort zone. I'm unsettled from my comfort zone. I'm stirred by God's Spirit. I'm stirred from a lackadaisical attitude, from a position of taking things for granted. I'm stirred by the power of God's Spirit. And I remain stirred. I'll remain stirred. It will wane or go off. Every distraction is taken away from my attention this very moment. Just let's pray.